You be seated. Lord, we ask that you would take your word and apply it to our hearts and minds at this time. In Christ's name, amen. One of the greatest gifts that God has given you and I is the gift of children. Who could truly describe the amazing bond between a mother and father and their children? What a terrible, I can't imagine, more devastating thing to lose a child. And some of us have been through that dark place. I can only imagine what Abraham would have been thinking and feeling as he walked with Isaac toward Mount Moriah. This was not just any child out of a number. This was Isaac. This was the son who Sarah and Abraham had born in their old age. The son through whom that amazing promise of God was to be fulfilled. That through his offspring, all the nations would be blessed forever. And this was the child. And he would have been their pride and joy. The light of their lives. And yet, Abraham was so close to God that he had no mistake in his mind what God had told him to do. Isn't it so important for you and I to know that our relationship with him is so firm and secure and developed to the point where God asks us to do something difficult or something we don't want to do? It's so good to know that it's really him speaking. We really need to know that rather than just our imagination or something else. When we are committing and putting ourselves on the line, we really need to know what his voice, quote, sounds like in our soul. So it is that Abraham knew what God had said. Go and sacrifice your son. So as he walked with the knife in his belt, with Isaac beside him, it must have just tore his heart apart when Isaac says, "Father, where is the sacrifice? We have the wood, we have the everything else." But anyway, they go up Mount Moriah to that horrendous moment when Abraham has the knife in his hand, held over the chest of his son, ready to plunge it into his heart. And God calls out, "Abraham, no." He had to stop him quickly. So much was the obedience of this man. And Abraham was provided for, and he took the ram and offered it instead. He would never forget that moment in his life. I can't imagine myself being in that position. Now, the writer to the Hebrews says that, in a sense, Abraham received his son back from the dead. So strong was his intention to carry out the command of God. And the scholars tell us, or most of them, and we think it's fairly secure as a fact, that the place where the sacrifice was made, Mount Moriah, was actually the site on which the Temple Mount stood years later, and maybe the site of the crucifixion. But in any case, what happened there on Mount Moriah with Abraham and Isaac prefigured the sacrifice of our Lord on the cross. That God provides the sacrifice. And later on, in the fullness of time, it was made known, of course, that the sacrifice spells out our very life and our hope. So, our New Testament reading for today, it's the cross. Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and there's a dual part to this. He's saying to the Christians and to us, he's saying, if you, by faith, place yourselves in a position where you're willing to die to sin and die to self and identify yourself with Christ's death on the cross, then you will indeed find the path of life. Then, he says, you can rise with him in his resurrection. If we are willing to be embraced by the horror, the agony, the death of the cross, the deprivation, if we're willing to experience the humility, the emptying of oneself, the total surrender, the submission, all that goes along with laying ourselves at God's feet, prostrate before him, as it were, weak in true repentance and contrition, if we're able to see the cross as our life and our hope, in all that that means, then we are able to rise with Christ in his resurrection and to embrace life as never before. Paul here is laying out for us the gateway of life, both here and in the world beyond, that it may embrace us, it may bring life, and that we may embrace it. So I guess this morning, what I'd like to do is to encourage you to live fully in the covenant that God has made with you. God has made a covenant. You know, he said to Abraham, the land will be yours for all generations, the offspring and the blessing. And as Abraham was leaving Mount Moriah, God says to him, Abraham, because you've done this, because you've offered your only son to me, I'm going to make your offspring more numerous than the grains of sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky. And he said, not only that, through your offspring, all the nations of the world will be blessed. And we know that Christ himself is included in that. And through Christ, indeed, all nations are blessed in heaven and earth. And so we are part of the covenant. You and I are sons and daughters of Abraham. He is our spiritual father. Whether we're Jewish or not, he is our spiritual father. He has countless children. So, what a wonderful thing it is to be embraced by the covenant that God brings to us, where he is our God and all that that means, and we become his people. In the passage from Romans chapter 6, I'd just like to mention three words that are used by Paul from the original Greek. He uses the word yield. Yield yourselves unto Christ in the context I just mentioned. In the Greek, but also in the English, to yield means to give yourself over, to present yourself. One of the meanings of that word. It's an irrevocable, definitive act by which you and I say, Lord, I'm laying myself on the altar. I'm making my offering to you as unworthy as I am, the sacrifice of my life, my will, my heart, my soul, my body, everything. The definitive act saying, Lord, take me. I'm yours. I'm your property. You say that to no other person. I, as Paul says in Romans, I become a slave to righteousness because now I serve my new master, not the sin, but the righteousness of God lives in me and defines who I am. The second word is obedience, which Paul uses here. And in the Greek, it's a compound word, hupokone. The first word means to be under something, under someone, underneath. In other words, to submit with that humility that only the Holy Spirit can give us, the humility, the submission, the laying of oneself open for God. And then the second part means to hear. So in other words, in obedience, we put ourselves under his authority and we hear his word spoken to us through whatever means he may wish to use. So we hear and we obey because we have been given over to God. Easy to say, not so easy to do every day. But the beautiful thing is, and this is something I had to learn over the years, because one of my tendencies was to have an awfully hard time forgiving myself for the things I've done wrong. And, you know, I've had to work on it. God's had to work on me. And what a beautiful thing it is when we can say, I forgive myself. I receive your forgiveness, but I also have to forgive myself and I have to start over. And what a beautiful thing it is when God may rebuke us for something we've done wrong or failed to do. But have you ever noticed how gentle his rebuke is? How terribly gentle, where he could be very harsh, but he's not. I've noticed it over and over again. So gentle, so compassionate, so understanding and merciful. And he picks us up. In fact, we have to pick ourselves up or be picked up every single day of our lives because we fall. What a beautiful, merciful God we have because of the sacrifice made by Christ. And so we live. And the word live also in Romans 6 is in the context of the resurrection. The same power by which God raises his Son lives in you and I, that we might live for him. So, maybe be encouraged this morning, knowing that the covenant is secure. Through all the hundreds of years of Israel's rebellion against God, when he could so many times have forgotten him and said, I'm writing you off. You know, even after the exile in Babylon and Assyria, I mean, he brings them back. And yet, what a beautiful thing that is. We can know that the covenant with you and I is just as secure. That whatever we may do, wherever we have been, it's all washed away. Because God has bound himself with an oath to his covenant, saying, you are my child. I will never let you go. So may the covenant be for you a constant source of joy and strength as you follow him. Lord, we thank you for all you've done for us. Help us, Lord, to truly know the power of your love and compassion, the value of your sacrifice, and how we, Lord, can come under your rule with all the gratitude in our hearts, knowing how we have been redeemed and set free. In your name we pray. Amen. We now continue with the creed. Let us continue.